Have your Bible and go ahead and turn to 2 Kings chapter 22. And we're going to be looking here. Go ahead and put the title up. Is One of a Kind for God. One of a Kind for God. And I will say, as I was thinking about McKinley graduating, and I was thinking about, I never really do real good on special topics, but I thought, she's graduating, she's young, and I don't even have a thing, we got some people here who are younger, and that's great, and it wasn't a bad thing, Mr. Glenn, it wasn't bad, but, that's a good thing, so I like all of y'all, you're still alive, I thought. I was talking about you the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But no, I am, but do you think, and so I thought about one character. I'm doing a character study, and I hope you're enjoying that. I've enjoyed it. Josiah. Now, he was, 8 years old when he began to reign, and so that's kind of what I was thinking, but obviously, Miss Janet, now it's just a straight-up sermon, and for everyone. So, but one of a kind. I want to talk to you about how to be one of a kind for God. Many people like to think they're one of a kind. We live in a world that everybody wants to be unique, yet no one really wants to be unique. Most of us are not a one of a kind. And I'm going to try to slow down. I'm on steroids. That's why I got up this morning. I'm amped. So, that's what it is. I am amped, ready to go. But in reality, most of us are not one of a kind. We wear the same brands. By the way, I had to go to the doctor. It's a sad day from a sad week. My ENT doctor and my surgeon that did my surgery is retiring. So anyway, he asked to take a picture with me. I thought I'm gonna cry. I think I'm the only one he did that with, though. That's what I'm saying. No. But he was a sweet man, a good doctor, and really loved people. So, but anyway, we all run the same brand. We do the same things. We go to the same places for vacation. We drive the same style of cars. It's me. I used to live in North Carolina. I've lived in Alabama. I grew up in Alabama. But each place you go, there's certain things that are unique to each area. And like up here, the one thing you see everywhere is tacos, the sandals. And back in North Carolina, you saw the Sperry's more. And around here, a lot of people drive Subarus, which in Alabama, no one. Maybe now, but not when I grew up. So it's unique how that happens. And so we drive the same style of car. We live in a similar houses. We decorate our house with the same stuff from Hobby Lobby. My wife, case point in hand. We watch the same movies. We watch the same ball game. We eat the same kind of food. Most people grew up and probably do now eat tacos, spaghetti, meatloaf, pot roast, potatoes, corn, green beans. We're having pot roast today. It's in the crock pot. We play the same thing. We play golf, we fish, we hunt, we build stuff, we go to birthday parties, family get-togethers. And in reality, we're not really one of a kind. Yet, there is a desire to be one of a kind. You'll see people say, I'm unique, I'm a limited edition, and so on and so on. Yet, we do, and probably even for the wrong reasons, there's a certain amount of pride that comes with being one of a kind, even if being one of a kind is not a compliment. And people wear it like a badge of honor. I'm a one of a kind. In 2 Kings 22, and I will also be going to 2 Chronicles 34, for some of it, because it's the same story. So, 2 Chronicles can give a few more details. Now, here's the one of a kind in 2 Kings. His name is Josiah. He's a one of a kind for multiple reasons. At a young age, he becomes king, and in 2 Chronicles 34, and also, I guess, in 2 Kings chapter 1, Josiah was 8 years old, and he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. He was a one of a kind because when the country was wicked, Josiah live for God. In verse 2 of 2 Kings 22, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the ways of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or the left hand. But the third reason, and the most important reason, is because that God said he was. God said that Josiah was one of a kind. And you'll see that in verse 25 of chapter 23, 2 Kings. And it says, and like to him was there no king before him, and turned to the Lord with all his heart, and with all his soul, and with all his might. Does that not describe so many, that does not describe so many Christians today. And we have a lot of people are Christians, but they don't turn to God with a whole heart and a whole soul and a whole might. And he said, according to the law of Moses, neither after him rose there any like him. This verse right here tells us that God said that Josiah was one of kind. Not because of his personality, not because of his skills or abilities, not because of his looks, no. He was a one of a kind because he personally lived for God. And he led the people to live for God. See, it's one thing, it's so sad to see people live for God, but then don't lead anyone else to live for God. And it all happened. You say, how did this happen? He was a one of a kind because of how he responded to the Word of God. And I think, and it seems like every sermon lately has been all about the Word of God, which should be. And you say, what do you mean? Well, through the short biography of Josiah, you'll see over and over the mention of the Word of God. Basically, in two chapters, and I did a rough count, you're going to see about 15 times in two chapters of the life of Josiah where it mentioned the Word of God. Somehow or another. It may say law, it may mean statues, whatever it is. And Josiah was one of a kind because he was, because of how he responded to the Word of God. And was saturated in his life. I want you to get that. I didn't say he had the Word of God. He didn't say he told it around. He said it's how he responded. How did he respond to the Word of God? That's what I want to look at. That's what made him a one of a kind. First thing here that led Josiah to be one of a kind was when Josiah was confronted by the Word, he humbled himself, okay? So when confronted by God's Word, he humbled himself. And I do know that, I know it's not a full sentence, but I know he is a vague pronoun. I know that's not right. First, put his name there, but I have room for that, okay? So anyway, when it's Josiah. See, the Word of God is going to confront you. Whether you read it, when you listen to it, hopefully if I stand up or someone else stands up and preaches it correctly, the Word of God is going to confront you. How you respond makes all the difference. And what Josiah did was he humbled himself. Letter A here, and let's kind of progress through the story here, is Josiah made a discovery. He made a discovery, and I believe I'm going to have to turn to 2 Chronicles. You can as well if you want to. I'm going to flip back a couple times because there's a few things it says that 2 Kings doesn't. Verses 8 through 13, let me give you the context here. Josiah had ordered for the restore of the temple. He wanted that the temple had been neglected. The king before him, his dad, did not live for God. They were wicked. So he and all of them began to purge the land. And in chapter 34, verse 11, it says, the auditors and builders gave they it to buy hewn stone and timber for coupling. And the floor of the house which the king of Judah had destroyed. So the temple was in a mess. Josiah was a godly man. And he said, I want to fix the temple back. And I want to get it back in working order. Josiah began to restore the temple in the 18th year of his reign. Verse 8 says that, to give you a little bit of a timeline. In 2 Chronicles, it says, now in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land, I'm not going to read it, but he went ahead and started rebuilding the temple. I want you to understand, he was 26 years old. He was 26 years old this time. And they're working on the temple. They find a copy of the law. And I'm going to go back now. I should stay for the most part back in 2 Kings. I'm 22. Verse 8. And Hilkiah, the high priest, said unto Shaphan, the scribe, I found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. Let's just stop right there. How sad is that? That they've lost the Bible. Or not only lost, they've misplaced it. I mean, it'd be like coming to church and be like saying, oh, hey, I found the Bible here. But that's really what happened. They made this discovery and they brought it to Josiah. Nevertheless, they found it, and most likely with the five books of Moses. We don't know that for sure, but here's the thing. So stay with me. Let it be here, and Josiah made a decision. Now, I'm getting somewhere, so stay with me. It revealed, look at verse 9, and then, and Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, a servant have gathered the money that was found in the house and delivered it, and in the hand of the work, and have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest had delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the Lord. And it came to pass when the king heard the word of the law, the book of the law, then he rent his clothes. So here's the revelation. Josiah, it's revealed to Josiah that the Bible had been found. It's been revealed to him what it said. Josiah now has been confronted with the word of God. What we read, we don't necessarily know. There's some speculation, and it's great for you to study that out. We don't know, but obviously, it has something to do with the fact that if you don't obey God, he was going to punish them, and if he obeyed God and the covenant, then they will be blessed. Okay, something of that nature. So verse 10, we see that he, or later in verse 13, it says this, go inquire of the Lord for me, for the people and all of Judah concerning the words of this book that I found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened into the word of this book to do according and written concerning us. So I don't know what it was, but whatever it was, it revealed to Josiah that punishment was coming because they had not listened to the word of God. And by the way, if you do not hearken to the word, there will be consequences. Now, okay, it's going to be consequences. Because of safety inside the word of God. But anyway, he's got this revelation now, the reaction. I read the verse. He humbled himself. Verse 11 says this, and it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. So even by his actions, he humbled himself. You say, well, let's read another verse. Look at verse 19. It is God speaking. Well, not him speaking, but what God has said to the prophet. Because our heart, like the prophet is, because our heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this plain, and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and rent thy clothes, and went before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Right here, hit the point, okay? You want to be a one of a kind? When the word of God confronts you, respond in humility. You know what that means? That means when Josiah heard the words of God, he came to this conclusion, you ready? That he was wrong and that God was right. I'm going to say that again. I don't care what it is in your life. When the word of God speaks on it, and one of it says, it doesn't matter what you're doing, what you're not doing, what you think, what matters, and when the word of God says it, humbling yourself and saying, what God says is right, and what I'm doing possibly is wrong. when he's riding through robbing banks. And you come to the Bible and it says, thou shalt not steal, humbling yourself and saying then that what I am doing is wrong because God says it's wrong. And I know that's such an elementary, basic, fundamental understanding of Christianity, but yet it's not practiced today. I mean, I don't think that the most Christians can be described as tender and humble. He realized that he and his country had not been doing everything that they should. Let me read you what Warren Wimps said, and I should have put this up here. How people respond to God's word is a good indication of their spiritual appetite and the strength of the desire to please the Lord. I'm going to read it again. How people respond to God's word is a good indication of their spiritual appetite. So that means that if you read the Bible or you hear an average, below average sermon from me on Sunday and the word of God speak to you, the way you respond to that, the way when you walk out the door and the way you apply it in your life reveals your spiritual appetite. It reveals to you the strength you have to please the Lord. Josiah had a strong appetite to do what's right. That's why it concerns me that people who make a claim to be saved, yet they have very little lack of desire to please the Lord. Their desire to please the Lord is almost non-existent. They never humble themselves. Oh, they hear it, and we'll get that in a minute. James said they hear it, but as far as it goes. And if the Word of God confronts you about something, and it doesn't create a desire to change, there's something wrong. Now, I'm not going to say you're going to be perfect. That's not what I said. Let me say that again. If the Word of God confronts you about something in your life, and it doesn't create a desire and burden to change, there's something wrong. And I'll say this. If you don't change after a while, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. No, but let me say this. He could have made excuses. I'm talking about this, Brother Darryl. Alright? He heard the law and said what had happened. But who did he blame? His fathers, right? Josiah, by the way, Josiah was already doing some things right. Now, I'm not going to read the verses, but in 2 Chronicles 34, it said in the 12th year, he began to purge Israel. Well, he found the word of God in the 18th year, which is, what, 6 years? Yeah, 6 years. So for 6 years, he's been doing good for the Lord. He could have said, well, I'm already doing pretty good. I'm not going to do anything. He could have said, I'm too young. I'm only 26. I mean, what do you expect from me? He could have said, it's not my fault. It's my father's fault. It's so-and-so's fault. I'll do better if so-and-so. Oh, he could have made excuses, but he didn't. When confronted with the truth, Josiah could have made excuses not to follow the word of God. Oh, that's where we're at today. What happens sometimes, the word of God will hit you right between the eyes. You know you're wrong. You know the word of God's right, but you make excuses. You make it reality that we become the exception. There used to be a gun store back home called J&M. Had a big black bear mounted and it said, do not touch. I need to touch it. Why? I'm the exception. I'm the exception. So whatever sins in your life right now, I guarantee you, your sin is not as bad as your neighbor's sin. Or why? Because you're the exception. You think you're going to get away? You think that it's going to turn out okay? No. All sin turns out bad. All sin turns out bad. All sin turns out bad. He's going to justify not doing anything else. But Josiah, though, was one of a kind, because when he was confronted by the word of God, he humbled himself. For you, this morning, to become a one of a kind husband for God, for you to become one of a kind wife for God, for you to become one of a kind father for God, for you to become one of a kind mother for God, for you to become one of a kind child for God, for you to become one of a kind Christian, or one of a kind graduate, one of a kind, no matter what it is, for you to be one of a kind, you must humble yourself when the Word of God confronts you. The Word of God, let me tell you something, very good at showing you what you really are. James compares the Word of God like a mirror. What does the mirror do? It confronts every morning how bad your hair looks. It confronts how greasy your skin is. The Word of God does the same thing with your conduct. It does the same thing. Here's the problem. Many of you are being confronted by the Word of God, but you're walking away, as the Bible says, forgetting what manner of person you are. You're deceiving yourselves. You're going to become a hearer only and not a doer. And you think everything's okay, but it's not. It's not. You're deceiving yourself. Just like if I got up, and I know I don't look good now, but I look really worse this morning. Oh, AC's broke too. So that'll get fixed on Monday. 2 nights of no AC, it's not been bad. When I got up and brushed my hair, brushed my beard, blow dried, put oil, washed my face, all them things. Like in a mirror, I saw myself, I need to do something. But spiritually speaking, we say, oh, we need to do something. Well, I'm okay. And you're deceiving yourselves. You're not become one of a kind. And then I know what's really funny, what's going to happen is later down the road, you're going to whine about the consequences because you won't listen now. If you want to be one of a kind for God, humble yourself when the Word of God confronts you. Basically what the science is out there. Live it. Learn it. When it confronts you, live it. The first thing that led Josiah to be one of a kind, when Josiah was confronted by the Word, he humbled himself. Secondly, when Josiah was challenged by the Word, he sought to understand. Okay? You say, what do you mean? Well, let me explain. Letter A here. Josiah comprehended God's Word. Okay? I want you to understand that. 2 Kings 22:13. And I've already read the verse, but I'm going to read it again. He said, go ye inquire of the Lord for me, and for the book, for all of Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. For here it is, for great is the wrath of the Lord, and is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened to the words of this book, to do according to all which is written concerning us. Okay? Alright, so now, he said, he heard it, he understood it, because you say, he was right. So look at verse 16. I don't think it's right, verse 16. Well, wrong verse. But we know that when they came back, yeah, it is the prophet talking. It said, concerning the great wrath, verse 17, of the Lord, it is kindled against us because all fathers have not hearkened to the words to according to all written concerning us. Here's the thing. I want you to understand something. My point here is Josiah comprehended what God was saying. But that wasn't enough. He wanted to know more. Let it be here. Josiah desired clarity on the Word of God. He knew. He knew what the Word said. But he said this. He said, guys, you go to the man of God, the woman of God, in this case. He said, I want you to find out exactly what God is saying here. He said, I want clarity. He said, I want clarity. He said, I want to know everything that God wants me to know. I want further instruction. I want wisdom to know what to do next. We see that God responded, and for sake of time, you can read it later. He punished. He said, punishment is coming. He said, disaster is going to come to pass. Josiah sought clarity and received clarity. I wonder how better off we would be as Christians if we sought clarity, counsel, when it comes to the truth of God. I wonder when you're confronted by the Word of God or something in your life, and most of the time what we do, we put our Bibles down and keep on living. We don't want to know. Right, Brother Lord? The problem, we don't want to know. I need you to listen to this. This is important. We don't want to know. We want to turn a blind eye. We want to put our head in the sand. But that's not what happened. Not with Josiah. Many times, this is important. I want everybody to pay attention. This is very important. This next thing, I tell my wife, I'm proud of myself. Why do we not seek clarity from what God wants us to do? We don't seek clarity or more information when God confronts us because we don't plan to do anything about it. I'm going to read that again. I don't think y'all are getting it. Why do we not seek clarity? Why do we not, when the preacher preaches for your reason, why do we not continue to dive into that topic? Because we don't seek clarity. Because we don't plan to do anything different. I'll prove it. Have you had someone give you advice on how to do something? But you didn't really listen? On trying to understand? Why? Because you already knew you were going to do it your way. Right? Or maybe it's cooking, maybe it's building, maybe it's working on your car. You already made up your mind what you're going to do, what products you're going to use. Well, that's okay with that, but this comes to you and God. And the reason that we don't seek clarity, the reason we put our head in the sand, when we're confronted by the Word of God, is because we don't plan to do anything different. Some of y'all come into church today, you heard it, but you're not going to change, and you're not going to try to figure it out, because you don't plan to do anything different. That's it. You don't plan to do anything. You're going to come in today, you're going to go out, and you're not going to do anything different. You're not going to ask why. You're not going to say, hey, preacher, can you tell me about that verse again? Hey, is that a sin, really? Okay, oh, it's all sin turned out bad. Why will you not seek clarity? No, and deep down, you know, and you're not going to do anything different. And 5 years from now, your life is going to be a mess because you won't change. You've already decided. We all have. We've gotten a certain level, and we're not doing anything different. That's why we don't spend time in the Word of God. That's why when something God convicts us, we don't want to know, because we're not going to change. The reason we don't seek clarity, understanding, is because you don't plan to change or do something different. People who don't listen, don't care, and aren't going to change. Josiah was challenged by the truth. He sought to understand it. Listen, because he's going to miss it. He sought to understand it because he planned to change. That's number 3. Look at number 3. When Josiah comprehended God's word, he acted on it. That was why he said, go to the prophet. Because Josiah said, I got to know more. But at that moment, he didn't care what God said. He was going to do it. He was going to do it. That's why so many people sit here every Sunday with the attitude of a teenager inside. And come in and sit down. You don't plan to change. Some of you probably think, oh, how could a 36-year-old preacher tell me anything? Just think like teenager. You're a teenager. How can he tell me anything? And we all have an attitude. I can't teach you anything. Word of God can. The reason he was so concerned, the reason he wanted to know more, that he planned to do something. And that's what he did. Josiah comprehended the word. He acted on it. People who want to do something want clarity. And they want to comprehend it where they can act on it. Let me prove it. They call it nowadays, they call it your craft. Sonny fishing is all craft. Basketball is my craft. You hear athletes say that. I'm going to focus on my craft. They want to get better. Sports, things like that. They call it now, and they'll say that. They want to get better. They seek all they can to understand it. And they try to learn because they want to apply it to their life. They want to act on it. A kid comes up to someone and says, hey, teach me everything you know. They're asking for more information because they want to learn. They want to act on it. You take the kid who goes home and says, I don't want to talk to nobody about this. Why? Because they don't want to learn. They don't want to grow. That's not wrong in sports if you don't want to play sports. But when it comes to God, it's very wrong. When Josiah comprehended the word, he acted on it. People who have no intention of changing don't want to comprehend. They don't want clarity because they already know that they don't want to change. Josiah comprehended what was going to happen. He acted on it. He comprehended they had been sinful. He comprehended they had not followed God. He comprehended this, that they were going to be punished for it. He changed. There's three things he did. Number one, letter A, he reestablished the covenant. Look at verse chapter 23, verse 1 and 3. And the king sent and gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem went to him, and the priest and the prophet and all the people, both small and great, and read in their ears all the words of God and of the covenant which was found in the house of the Lord. Verse 3, and the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and keep his commandments and testimony. Hey, you want to know what God's will is for your life? To keep his commandments and testimony and the statutes with all their heart and all your soul. To perform the word of his covenant that were written in the book, and all the people stood to the covenant. What did he do? He reestablished the covenant. When he found out what was going on, when he was confronted by the word, when he got clarity on the word, then he acted on the word. He called the people and said, come here. He said, let me read this to you. And he said, hey, we need to obey this. Hey, some of you and your family may need to reestablish the covenant. Some of you in your life need to do this. But not only did he do that, he also removed sin. Letter B here, he removed sin. Verse 4 through 24. I'm not going to read all them verses, because I can't stand when people read all the Old Testament to me. Okay? It gets on my nerves. And I really can't stand when they make me stand up in a seat and read two chapters. I hate that. And some churches do that. My church that came from, I don't like that either. So that's why I don't do that. Okay, that's me personally. Anyway. That's why I don't drag out invitations. I don't like them either. Not a long invitation. But I will say some of the things he did. He removed sin. He cleansed the temple on Baal vessels. He removed the wicked priest. He destroyed the groves. He just took horses that were dedicated to the sun god. He destroyed altars. He destroyed the house of the Sodomite. He put away the wizards. And then you read all that. He did all that. He took action. He repented. How literally, he truly repented. Which means he changed. See, here's the problem, ready? Some of y'all come down to the altar. Well, y'all don't, but maybe one day you will. And you'll come down, oh, Lord, you know, reestablish that covenant. And, oh, God, I love you, and I'm sorry, and I was wrong. And guess what? To the act of the word of God, you can't just cry to you and say, God, forgive me. You can, that's good. But you also have to remove the sin out of your life. That's repentance. We've got remorse and repentance confused. This is remorse. And it can be repentance. But repentance is seen by doing this. You're going in this direction. Repentance means changing directions. That's repentance. That's repentance. That's repentance. It's when you change. Josiah changed direction. He didn't say, well, guys, let me read the word of God. We need to obey this. And he didn't go home to sit down and do nothing. He said, all right, here's what we need to do. Let's get to work. And he started taking care of things. He started removing sin. He didn't say, now, you're right. You cannot work for forgiveness. Forgiveness only comes through God forgiving you. But if you are forgiven, repentance means you change direction. Okay? You don't work for, you do not work to be forgiven. Don't get me wrong. But you have to work to get it out of your life. I mean, even to Joshua, tell Joshua what he do when it comes to Ai and Achan. He said, get up! You prayed long enough. Get up and take action. Josiah established the covenant. He removed sin. And then letter C, he restored worship. Chapter 23, verse 21. I'm going down to verse 23. And the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover. We know what the Passover is. That's the celebration, the annual celebration of when they came out of Egypt. When God passed over them, when they put the blood, and a death angel came over. So keep the Passover to the Lord your God, and it is written in the book of this covenant. Surely there was not holding a Passover from the day of the judges that judge Israel, nor in all the days of the king of Israel, nor of the king of Judah. But in the 18th year of King Josiah, wherein his Passover was holden to the Lord in Jerusalem. What did he do? He restored worship. Josiah's Passover was celebrated like no other. We're not sure what that means. Maybe the magnitude of it. One room said that at least 37,000 small animals were offered. And that 3,800 bulls were offered. That's a lot of animals. A lot of bloodshed. That would have been fun to see. It wasn't convenient. By the way, living for God's not always convenient. Getting your life right with God's not always convenient. I would imagine some of them animals, if I was a farmer, I probably wouldn't want to give that many animals up. Brother Darryl. And probably wouldn't have been easy, because they haven't been doing it for a long time. But when you get right with God, and pay the price. It's evident. This is a sincerity of it. I maybe also that it was so like a Passover that they weren't just going through the motions. They truly repented. And one of them times, because we all know we can make sacrifices, but not be sincere. We don't know, but what we do know is that he restored worship. Josiah acted on what he had learned. He humbled himself. He sought clarity. Why? Because he intended to change. And let me know, so I just realized this. For you to ever do anything with God, you're going to first have to humble yourself. You know why we don't change? Because of pride. Pride. But Josiah started off humble. Then he said, what do you want me to do, God? I want to know all I need. Give me all the info. And when he realized he did what God wanted me to do, then he did it. Well, then, he learned it. It looked like he loved it because he wanted to know more. And then what did he lived it. He went out and did that. The Word of God is a mirror. It will show you, and by the way, most of you already know what you need to do. It shows you. This is where we drop the ball. Many of us don't do anything about it. And that's the reason we will never become the one of a kind husband, wife, father, mother, child, teenager, whatever it is. You know why? Because we do not. And we make it past point 1 and 2. We never, many times, we drop the ball when it comes, after we comprehend it. We never act on it. It's like the guy robbing a bank. I mean that because I don't want to be offensive to anyone. I don't think none of y'all robbed a bank today. You may have in the past, you did. That's okay. But it's like the guy with a gun and comes to the church and said, I've been robbing a bank. And the preacher said, well, thou shalt not steal. He said, well, explain that to me. Well, it means that you're not supposed to take anything that belongs to you. And God says it's sin. Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to quit robbing banks. That's how it works with your sin. That's as simple as that. And that's that simple. Not only that easy, but it's that simple. It's like, oh, I shouldn't be doing this. Why? Oh, because God said this. Oh, well, what does God say about this? Oh, okay. Then I need to stop. That's how it's supposed to be. No questions asked. No ands or buts. We must act on what the Word has revealed. That's what Josiah did, and that's what made him one of a kind. It's simple. That's what it is. That's what made him one of a kind. In conclusion here, here's my challenge to everyone. Let's be one of a kind. Let's be one of a kind. When the Word of God confronts you, humble yourself. Not me, not your Sunday school teacher, but when the Word of God. Now, they may use some people, but like, yeah, I hope that, you know, I don't want you to do what I say, I want you to do what the Word of God says, and that's why I try to back up what I say with the Word of God. Even though we're doing characters, I want to give you not what I think what the Bible says, and I think I can back up why Josiah was one of a kind. That's what I want you to do. When the Word of God confronts you, humble yourself. When the Word of God challenges you, seek to understand. Study it. Hey, seek counsel. Seek counsel. Seek counsel. Okay, learn, like, if you have a question about something, maybe sometimes, you know, the Word of God, you don't have every detailed situation in it, but maybe you're in a situation like, well, I don't know what to do. Read the Word of God, get counsel, say, hey, how should we navigate this? And then number three, when you comprehend it, and by the way, we don't have any problem understanding most of the time, but when the Word of God is comprehended, act on it. I can't think of a better verse. And I feel like I've read it 4 or 5 times, but we need to hear it. Verse James 1:22, "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Man, that's the problem. Is that we've all heard it, but then we just don't do it. And from the big things to the little things. From the things that I don't even read my Bible every day, to anything. We hear it. We know it. But what we got to do, we've got to live it. We've got to act out. And that's what made Josiah so special. And he didn't make excuses. He didn't just wall around. He saw, this is what we need to do. And he said, I'm going to do it. Kind of like this. How many times do you, you're with people and they say, we need to do something sometime. We need to go on a trip. Yeah. And then 2 years later, you haven't done a trip. We all been there. That's what we do with words of God. Yeah, I know what you do. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, now God, you're right, guys, you're right. And some of you may even humble yourself. Some of you might even find out more information about it. But then we never actually do it. We're always going to. But going to is not the same thing as doing it. Let me challenge you. Be one of a kind for God. Be one of a kind for God. And we stand at our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm just out of respect. For other people around, they come up to play. I said, I don't know what it is in your life. Maybe it can just be simply an attitude. No, maybe it's apathy. I mean, I don't know what it is. Maybe something serious. It's between you and God. But let me ask you. And David, let me ask you this. And David, how many of you would say, and I don't do this many times, but you say, well, I want to be a one-of-a-kind Christian. You know, one like that? You know, one hand up with mine? You might say, I want to be one of them. Thank you. I see them hand. Thank you. I see them hand. And you don't have to raise your hand. I know that. But still, it's good to know. Hey, let's do that. And here's what it is. If you're going to be a one-of-a-kind Christian, it's going to be on one thing. You ready? The Word of God. The Holy Spirit. The Word of God. Just what it's going to be. You're going to have to focus on the Word of God. And the problem is the Word of God in most churches has become a relic. It's become a superstitious book that we can't let get dusty. That we got to tote around. But knowing the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than two-edged sword. Hey, you want power in your life? You want power in your home? You want power in your marriage? You want parents? You want power? You want the one-to-one power to be saying to Him? The Word of God. The Word of God. Oh, it's so true. Psalm tells it. It's a light into my path. Hey, are you stumbling in your life right now? Oh, the Word of God is what you need. It's that simple. Oh, but so powerful. Oh, yeah, but so neglected. So neglected. Man, let's be a one-of-a-kind Christian today. As they continue to play through one time, God spoke to you. I want to open the altar and let you know. I know you don't have to. There's always the one place to start. There's nothing wrong with the altar. It's a good place to start.